I walked in the door this morning, he was practicing. I'm like, is Robert Regal here? Give me Jesus. Years ago, I was leaving. My wife and I were turning over a work in Brazil. And this was going to be my last message at that church before we came back, U.S., and began a new ministry. And I was struggling with, Lord, this is my final message at this church that I started about 12 years ago. What do I preach? I echoed my thoughts at the dinner table, and my little daughter, Rebecca, said, well, Daddy, just preach about Jesus. It's like, duh. That's what I did that morning. That's next Sunday, I just got up and preached about Jesus. Because everything we are, everything we have, everything we believe can be wrapped up in that word, Jesus. There's no sweeter name than Jesus. Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. Just give me Jesus. When you have Jesus, you have it all. Thank you, Brother Steve. Thank you to you and your wife for hosting Vicki and me again this year. What a blessing to be with you. Turn in your Bibles. If I can get my notes to turn. I never use electronics, and I'm trying to at least use my cell phone this morning, and I can't. Which way is up? This way. What's going on here? I know it's in Psalm 71. Psalm 71. I'm trying to move up in the world. I bought an iPad some time ago because I saw my friends using them. It takes me a long time to figure out. Let me see if they know how to use those things and if they can use them correctly. And if they do, after a while, I might dive into it. Well, I finally bit the bullet and I bought it. And I've had it for a few months and I have no idea what to do with that thing yet. And I can't wait for John O'Malley to get here at the missions conference this week because I'm going to have to sit down and say, John, tell me what to do with this thing. Psalm chapter 71. Would you stand, please? The reason I have you stand is not in honor to God's word because you can do that sitting down. I just want you to stay awake. Psalm chapter 71, verse 18 and 19. 19 is my text. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God. That's how we know David wasn't bald. I said that for someone's sake here. You're welcome. Now also when I'm old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. Who hast done great things? O God, who is like unto thee? Father, God, who is like unto thee? A God who has done great things and continues to do great things. Thank you that the same great God that David had is the great God that we have today. May we see you do great things in us individually, through us individually, for us individually, as well as corporately as your church. Thank you for what you're doing through our ministries. Lord, I want this time to honor you because it's you who do great things. And I also want to say thank you for using us who are weaker vessels for your own purposes, for your own glory, as you do great things through us. Bless us this morning, I pray. You know what we need to hear, how we need to be challenged, but also the report we need to hear of how the prayers of this church, as they're lifted up on our behalf at Silent Word Ministries International, David and Vicki Bennett and others, and how their finances are being invested to see things happen for you. Bless us, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Brother Ogle, for inviting me again. I enjoy coming here each year. It's a blessing to be able to stay in contact with you as we come to Ambassador. And then here we are once again. It's a joy to have that continued contact, because there's a lot of churches we don't have that contact as often. Turn in your hymn book, the Majesty Hymn Book, for a minute, please, to number 44. And that should be, "To God Be the Glory." Is it not? Is there a blue hymnal up here? I'm looking for the Majesty one. It's not up here. Oh, it's over there. All right, thank you. Oh, I said blue. It's the burgundy one. Oh, wait a minute. Anyway, this is the one I want you to, I think it's number 44 in here. "To God Be the Glory." It starts off by saying, "To God be the glory." What are the next five words? Say them with me. "Great things." Do you believe that? We sing it. Sometimes we sing it, but we don't sing it like we mean it. And too often we go right over it real quick because we know it in our minds. We've memorized it. We know the words. We just sing it. By the time we come to the end of the song, we don't even know what we sang. Great things he hath done in the past, but he's doing great things now too. That's what this verse says. I'm going to come back. Don't shut your hymnal yet. Verse 18, "Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not." Now David had a life of faithfulness to God. He made some mistakes like you and I do, and God forgave him, but he comes to the end of his life and he's able to look back and say, "God has done some great things through my years of serving him. Until I have showed thy strength unto this generation." See, now those of us who have already seen God do great things, we've got to declare those things to this generation. We have to pass it on not only to our children, but let me throw in a word here that gets used a lot but done very little, is discipleship. It's when we are actively discipling the younger generation, and sometimes even discipling our own generation who hasn't been discipled, that they learn to see great things done through their mentors and through their own lives. We want them to know that God's not just alive in the past, God's alive today. "Until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come." Then 19, "Thy righteousness also, God, is very high." Well, we could spend a lot of time talking about very high righteousness of God, the very high holiness of God. "Who hast done great things, O God, who is like unto thee?" And they put a exclamation mark in that verse when it was translated, who is like unto thee, because you do great things. I'm just going to mention one story here. There's other stories I could be mentioned. Have you ever heard of a man named Goliath? David confronted Goliath. From this verse, it was a long time ago, years ago. Do you think David grew up knowing that God can do great things? In fact, when he went to talk to King Saul about this, Saul called him in because he heard some rumor about somebody saying, yeah, God can take care of this giant. He repeats some other things that God had done for him individually that nobody had seen or knew about. Maybe his own family knew that he had killed a bear and he had killed a lion. All of Israel didn't know that. King Saul didn't know that. But he rehearses, God does great things. And sometimes God has to kill a lion in your life, in your ministry. I'm not talking about things in your life, but has to use you to see some things happen like that. And then a bear before you ever get to the Goliaths. But God does want to do great things in you and for you and through you. But our expectations are not very high. We don't expect God to do great things like we should. Who hast done great things, O God, who is like unto thee? Back to the hymn. It says in verse 3. Great things he hath taught us. Is that true? What would we do without this book? I mean, we're talking about great things he had taught us. We can't thank him enough for this book. And then it says, great things he had done. We sing it again. Then he says, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. And our rejoicing should start through Jesus the Son, who has done great things because he saved us, he died for us. You know the story well. God has done so much for you, Brother Boo. He has done great things for me. He's done great things for many of us. Do you recognize it? Do you talk about it? Let me just say, sometimes we're so humble that we don't want to talk about the things that God does through us. And that's a mistake for the next generation. You have to talk about God's great things with humility, focusing on God, and to God be the glory. That's the song. But you just can't walk around like you're the most pious Christian in the world and God's done great things for you, but you won't tell anybody about it. You have to give a testimony to it. In chapter 107, I believe, David says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And it's up to us to pass not just the word of God, but what God is doing in your life and mine on to the next generation, in our home and in our church. The chorus of To God Be the Glory says, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice, oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son. And give him the glory. Great things he hath done. A famous missionary, all of you know the name of Jim Elliot. He made this statement. Expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God. Do you? Do you? Let me ask this before I go on, and I've got some testimonies I want to give, but before you can attempt great things for God, you better be praying for some great things from God. And too many of us don't pray for great things. Consequently, we don't expect great things. Consequently to that, we don't attempt great things. Why would we expect great things if we're not praying for them? You know, there's a book by an evangelical author. The title is, Your God is Too Small. Your God is too small. That's the way we pray, like we have a small God. Consequently, that's the way we live our lives, like we have a small God. I'm just here to say this morning, and I'm going to give testimony to the fact that I have a great God, and He's still doing great things. When I walked up to Brother Brew a little while ago, one of the first things he wanted, well, the first thing he said is, I'm praying for you. I think that's the first thing he always tells me. And he's got a list, and he keeps it. And I can't say thank you enough to all who pray for us. But then he asked immediately, how did the ministry go in Las Vegas? I just took a team of 35 other people to Las Vegas in August for what's called the Deaf Nation World Expo. This is the fourth time they've ever had one. They'd have it approximately every 4 years. And thousands of deaf people come. There weren't as many there this time, but there were still thousands of deaf people. And even our team of 35 was having a hard time trying to keep up with getting... We had some bags printed with our mission and our website so they could get to the website, and we've got the gospel all over our website and in sign language and materials for those who are in the deaf world. We want them to find us. And we were given tracts, we were testifying, people were sitting down in the back behind our booth leading people to Christ. We saw 35 people come to know Christ that week. In Las Vegas, in 2022. Oh, is that all? When's the last time you saw 35 people saved? It was wonderful. Now, let me tell you something else that to me, and there's some other things I won't have time to tell you about, but I want to tell you about another thing related to that that actually excites me even more. You say, more than 35 getting saved? Yeah. I have to go back just a little bit because Silent Word Ministries International has been taking missions trips to other countries. We've been going to Deaf Olympics and doing evangelism as well, and in the Deaf Nation World Expo. It's a total secular thing. All of these are secular things, but we take evangelistic teams there. And there was another booth. Okay, so Silent Word Ministries, we rented 3 booths. So imagine this is a room in Las Vegas where you can put literally tens of thousands of people, one huge room. We had a table over there. We had a table here. And we had a table over there. The table in the minute, those two were 10-foot tables. This one was a 20-foot table. We rented a bigger space that ended up in the middle. For a purpose, because we want to make sure we get the gospel out. Actually, I'm wrong. That was a 20-foot table. That was a 10-foot, and that was a 10-foot one. And we were giving the gospel out. Anybody we missed over there, we want to make sure we got them over here. But right, and there's aisles of booths. But right over here is a booth called Romans Road for the Deaf. Romans Road for the Deaf was started by a deaf man named Brian Palumbo. He lives here in North Carolina on the East Coast. But he traveled with me to Europe. He was about 50 when he went with me the first time. Then he's traveled with me other places. In traveling with me, Brian got on fire for God and evangelism. He comes to me back in the States and he said, "Brother David, there's this thing called Deaf Nation. They have these expos." I said, "Yeah, we go to those expos. They're international expos." He says, "Yeah, I know." He says, "But they have regional ones also. Boston, Chicago, Atlanta, Dallas, Seattle, San Francisco, New York, Buffalo, places like that. They're regional ones. They're smaller ones. There's only sometimes 1,500, sometimes 3,000. Once in a while they might have four. And lost deaf people from across that region of the U.S. go to those." He says, "David, Brother David, you have to start reaching the deaf at those regional expos." I said, "No, Sir Brian, I don't. That's not my burden. My burden's around the world. I don't have time to do those here in the USA." I said, "Who has to do those regional expos is you." "I can't do that." This is a 50-year-old deaf man who knows the Bible really well. In fact, he probably studies the Bible better than 80% of the Christians you might know. He says, "But I can't do that." I said, "Brian, why not?" I said, "You will do it, and I'm going to help you do it." And he started Romans Road for the Deaf, to make the story short. Now, he and a group of men, deaf men normally, there's a few hearing guys like me, who will, but I don't go with him, but friends of mine, and they'll go with him to Boston, to San Francisco, to Seattle, and these larger cities where they have these, and they'll see anywhere from 2 to 8 or 10 deaf people saved at each one of these, and there's 9 every year around the country. And he's been doing this now for about 6 or 7 years. And at this international expo back first week in August, just a couple months ago, Brian's booth was right over there. We saw 35 people saved. They saw 23 more deaf people saved. They had a team of 8. One of them was hearing. The other deaf were 7. These 7, and I don't even know if the hearing man, close friend of mine, I don't even know if he had a chance to lead anybody to Christ, but those other 7 led 23 other deaf people to Christ. They are a daughter of SWMI, because I believe in multiplication. Like, you're not doing it. Don't have to. But I leverage it. I make it happen. I believe God can use a deaf man to start Romans Road for the Deaf and use him, and then he gets these other deaf, and now they're winning people to Christ. Now, I'm going to reminisce just a little bit before I talk about some more stories, although the stories will relate to today too. When Vicki and I first went to Brazil, and we arrived in 1983, we became missionaries in 79, we did deputation with a deaf couple. The two of us traveled with a deaf couple, helped raise their support. They went to Japan as missionaries. We went to Brazil as missionaries after we raised their support. And I began evangelizing immediately, right out of language. Actually, I was still in language school, 3 months in the language school. I had just learned John 3:16. You remember when you learned John 3:16? Well, I learned John 3:16 when I was in English when I was a baby. But I had to relearn it when I got to Brazil because I didn't know it. And so I'm on the bus, I'm witnessing. But I had a very effective first term in evangelism. We saw hundreds saved. It was wonderful. I came back to the States, did a furlough, got burdened thinking the whole furlough, all these people who have been saved, I really need to do something with them more. Today, you might call that follow-up. If you're talking about advanced, they might call it discipleship, but nobody had ever discipled me other than what I got just from my parents in the home, which was great. So I started discipling people. One of the men I discipled, his name was Josue. Josue was 25 when I started working with him. Worked with him for 3 years. I mean, every week. He was one of the men I focused on. We had formal time every week together, and then we would do other things together as well. Josue, after we left that church, he went on to become a missionary with a national Brazilian mission. That's been 30 years ago. Josue, through our ministry of training him, has started 6 churches himself. And he works with a team of church planters going up and down the Amazon River, seeing churches started in the little rivers that fork off of the Amazon. He lives in Manaus. I get his prayer letters. Once in a while, he writes me for advice still. Josue is seeing people saved, churches established. They're getting ready. The last church plant that he's been working on it for 5 years. He's having a man, and this is where I want to go with this. He's having a man come in January that Josue led to Christ about 28 years ago and discipled for a long period of time in a previous, I think either his first or second, Josue's first or second church plant. That man is now coming to the Amazon to candidate as the pastor of this new church plant called Good Shepherd Baptist Church. And I was writing just in the last few weeks, 3 weeks, with Josue about it. And he said, yeah, I'm having, and his name, this other man's name is Ishmael, which is Ishmael in English. I'm having Ishmael come and spend a year with me. I discipled him back then, but I'm going to go through church training. Our church in Brazil also had a 1-year training program for interns. He said, I'm going to put him through an internship program for the next year, January to January, and then we're going to evaluate, does the church want to call him to be the pastor of this new church plant? Josue is multiplying churches and men in the Amazon today. I've only ever been to the Amazon one time. When I grew up as a little boy, my goal was to go to the Amazon and reach an unreached tribe. That's what I wanted to do. Amazon was it for me. If I want to go somewhere they've never even seen a white face, I want to scare them to death. I want them to come to Christ. God didn't let me reach that tribe. I have a different tribe I reached today. It's called the deaf. And now we're starting to reach special needs as well. I'll talk a little bit about that shortly. But I'm standing right here in Emmanuel Baptist Church, Kings Mountain, North Carolina, and I feel like I'm in the Amazon today because Josue is there. And the work that he's doing for God, it's actually, as far as my work in Brazil, his is exceeding by far what I did in Brazil. But it's because we focused on multiplication from the second term on. The first term was really all evangelism. I didn't know anything else but evangelism at that point. Now it's evangelism, because you can't do discipleship without evangelism. And I've had pictures from Josue just recently showing the church and the people there, the property they bought 3 years ago, the building that's going up there now. But before they started the building, they already had a church. Let me mention another thing that's God done. I've got verses here. I've got stories, folks. while you're, turn over a few pages to Psalm 126, verse 3. Psalm 126, verse 3. I find this verse interesting because there's times when David mentions what great things God has done for him. There's times when God, when David mentions what great things God has done for Israel, corporately. But here, I find this verse interesting, Psalm 126, verse 3. But if you go back to verse 2, you'll see that they're talking about the heathen. Let me read verse 2. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. God was doing such great things that even the heathen had to admit God is doing something there. Verse 3, the Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. I hope God's doing great things for you, and I hope the world notices that. And this Christmas program parade thing is an opportunity for you to do something to get the Word of God, the message of salvation to people. But the world ought to know that who we are and that God is on our side and God is doing great things for us. Let me reminisce again a little bit. Today, in one of the largest cities in India, Kolkata, you would know that name. Today they call it Kolkata. There is a deaf church there. On October 8th, earlier this month, they had a special day, a big evangelistic push, first one they've had since COVID. They had over 100 deaf people there. The majority of them are members of that church. But they had visitors. They also have a Bible school for deaf men, deaf people there in Kolkata. The man who started that work, his name is Biak. I've mentioned him here before, but it's probably been 8 or 10 years. But that work continues to grow in Kolkata because this man named Biak, who was a missionary in the Andaman Islands, and most of us don't even know where that's at, but that's off the between the coast of Burma, Myanmar, and India. He was a missionary in Andaman when he heard that there was going to be some training on the mainland of India by someone he never heard of, David Bennett, how to reach deaf people for Christ and how to begin a deaf ministry or a deaf church or whatever God leads them to do. Biak and his wife Seung came. They spent 5 weeks with me traveling to different places as I trained several men how to work with deaf people. Biak went back to the Andaman Islands and found on the island he lived on 14 deaf people, adults. Within 1 year, he had led all of them to Christ. One of them worked in a bank. He was a deaf man around 45, 50 years of age. Biak began working with that man. I don't even know that man's name. I've heard it, seen it in writing. Don't remember it. And Biak trained him how to preach so that Biak left the Andaman Island where there was 14 deaf and he had led them to Christ. Went to Kolkata, started this deaf church, and today they're reaching deaf people. They're having service. They've already had their services today because now it's about 9:30 at night in India. They're there because of the work of SWMI, a work that you support with your prayers and your money. And they continue to multiply there. Let me mention another man. His name is Moises. means Moses in English. Moisés was in seminary when Vicky and I arrived on the field. We became close with him. He was a single man. Then there was a young lady. We were close to her. We saw them get married. And we had an internship program, a one-year internship program in our church there in São Paulo. And Moisés and Luzimar came into our internship program. Trained them. The church said, and we trained one or two every year, but our church said, we want them to stay here and be the national pastor here. So Moisés came on staff of our church and worked with us for several years before we as missionaries left, and then he stayed. And then other men came on as staff as well. Today, Moisés lives in the USA, and he travels to Portugal, to Mozambique. He's in the Amazon this month, training men, teaching men, doctrine and practical ministry training, doing that with them, working with men in these places, other Portuguese-speaking countries. He's a result of the type of ministry that we do. When we left Brazil, it didn't stop, folks. It multiplied. It's still going on. That's the way it's supposed to be. And rightfully so, we take that for granted, that it's going to be like that. But it's not always like that. And anyone who's been in ministry very long knows that. Because there are sad stories as well. Vicky had the opportunity in a good news club to lead someone to Christ just last week. It might have been a week ago, week and a half ago now. She ministers at the Chattanooga Rescue Mission and has a ministry there speaking to those ladies. I have a lot of opportunities to do things, but God is still doing great things. When I pray for God to do big things. I've been going to India quite a bit. Those who see us on Facebook, I've got lots of pictures and read our letters. You'll see that. When I was there in June, I went to this one university where I taught a module. Second time I taught in this university. And let me just say, when I go to teach a module, I don't go to teach a module. That is not my purpose, because there's lots of guys who can teach those modules. Most of them can do better than I do. I'll tell you why I go. Number one, they invite me. But when they invite me, there's one condition that I will come. You allow me to challenge all your students with the need to reach deaf people for Jesus Christ. And so during the module, I usually take a time Thursday afternoon where I'm not teaching the subject that I'm asked to come teach, but for about an hour to an hour and a half, I challenge them with the fact that there are deaf people around their churches, and everyone sitting under my voice in those classes, they're all pastors or some kind of mission leader of some kind. All of them. They're not 18-year-old training for ministry in the future. And I tell them, you've got deaf people sitting in your villages who don't know the name of Jesus. And many of them in your villages don't even know Christ unless they live here in the capital city. Or don't even know sign language even. And every time I do that, God raises up someone to get a burden for the deaf. In this last class in June, I had three men come and say, God's burdened us to reach deaf people. One of them, his name is Paisho. Paisho was probably the sharpest student I had in the class. It was almost like a dream when he came forward and knelt and said, God's called me to do this. He's already been learning sign language. He actually, I I sent him to another state over where I knew he could learn Indian Sign Language and start learning Indian Sign Language from them. He's pastoring already a hearing church, but now he's got a burden for the deaf, and only God knows where that's going to go. The seminary, I've got to finish up. I'll be finished within 2 minutes. The seminary where I went, the founder of that seminary, it's been around a long time, he got a burden for the deaf the first time I went. This time he said, I'm going to start a deaf school and teach sign language and reach deaf people for Christ here in this Northeast India area. He even sent out a promotional thing while I was still there saying on February 1st, 2023, we're going to start a deaf school. That's in the works. That's in the works. Before I finish, I have to say a couple things real quick. I've got a lot of other stuff I want to say. We do have prayer cards. I think there's prayer cards still back there, but if you don't have one of our prayer cards, I'm due for a new one. Please pick it up. Carrie Whaley is with us. She's on her way to Liberia, West Africa, to work with our team there. We're putting a team together to be effective reaching deaf and those with special needs. I'd love to talk about that for a long time. Talk to her afterwards. She'd be glad to give you a prayer card. We're expecting God to do great things in Africa, India, and around the world. And he is doing those great things even now. Bruce and Amanda Stewart, who are with us, they just arrived in April in Liberia. Monique Lindsay, another lady who's worked with special needs for many years here in the U.S., has just arrived in Africa with SWMI to help us reach families who have special needs represented in those families who need Christ. She's always, because of it is an English country, she's already there witnessing. She's dynamic. Ben and Marie Muldoon, just over a year ago, they had a little daughter named Serenity. Back in 2 months ago, they had twins, William and Penny. When I talked to him this week, he said, we only lack $100 of going to Romania. And they just bought their tickets this week to go to Romania in January. They'll learn the language. They plan on starting to work with the deaf there and training men from all over Europe, the Word of God, to be more effective in sending them back to Spain and France and Italy and Hungary and all those places to reach more deaf people for Christ. Because we expect great things from our great God. Pastor.
Praise the Lord. We do want to expect